Alright guys, it's time for another Geekly Debate. I'm Jules, joined with me this week is...
Gomer.
Taylor.
And Dave will be chiming in.
Woot! What are we talking about this week, guys?
This week we are doing the best Eastern animated film.
Is it Eastern?
Yeah, we did Western last week.
We did Western.
Awesome.
Oh, so, Fish Gomer.
Yeah, oh. You funny little guy. We are here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
What's up, Maddie?
And... we're going to start it off this week with Taylor.
Oh, we're going to start with Taylor?
Oh, am I starting out this week?
Yeah, we're going to start with Taylor.
Awesome.
That's fine.
Because Taylor usually leads us off, and he picks one of us. Since I'm leading it off this week, I'm going to let Taylor go first.
Okay.
Go for it.
I will say, though, I did start last week with Lion King.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think we should go in the same order.
Well, okay, well...
Let's just not skip me 100 times this week.
Well, my logic this week is kind of the same as Lion King was, because I'm picking what I think is the best movie from the best animation studio, Hao Miyazaki's Ghibli Studios. And this week I'm going with Spirited Away.
It's a
awesome
great
movie.
Pick.
Man, that's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
I'm glad I'm off to a better start this week with you, at least, than I was with Lion King last
week. Yeah, because Lion King, ugh.
Oh, fuck you. Girls.
Hamlet with animals.
Oh, okay, well, Mask of the Phantasm is Who Framed Roger Rabbit with Batman.
He's right!
But Batman did it first.
Okay.
David was here, he'd be doing that so much better than me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's here, he's just off getting comics now.
Okay.
He's not committed
to it. Spirited Away is awesome, man.
Spirited Away is an outstanding
movie. What's it about?
Oh, it's about a young girl, her and her parents kind of take a...
yeah, that's what everybody says.
...ill-advised trip off of a side road. They walk past a certain boundary and kind of get mixed up with the world of spirits.
It's so odd.
It is.
So cool.
It's endearingly odd, though.
Yes.
It's like, it has like a it's very strange and kind of surreal, but it has a consistency to it. She ends up working at a spa run by a witch.
It's just such a cool film.
Befriends a river spirit and a Spider-Man, and the witch's benevolent twin sister.
Yeah.
No, not that kind of Spider-Man, but a literal...
not cool, friendly neighborhood.
Not our amazing,
a man
spectacular
Spider-Man. Well, this guy's pretty friendly.
Oh, yeah, he's friendly. Yeah, you're right.
He hangs out with soot spirits.
Yeah. But like a lot of Miyazaki movies, these... what probably highlights this movie the best is the way that it captures human emotions, the way it captures kind of this coming-of-age story. Similar to the way that Princess Mononoke, Ponyo, things like that.
Oh,
do.
Man.
But this probably did it the best job. Well... name me a bad Miyazaki
No,
movie.
There's
I mean,
not.
On.
There's not. It's you could have picked any of those three movies that you just said, and there'd be no arguing for me that they could
totally
be
agree.
Seen as the best.
Well, when
they're
I
so
when
good.
I suggested Eastern animated movie, there was a real danger that we'd all pick Miyazaki movies.
Yeah, yeah
because they're all there's so many good ones.
Yes,
I almost picked a Miyazaki movie.
What was yours almost going to be?
Almost going to be Princess Mononoke,
okay.
Which is
another great choice.
Impeccable film, really is.
But Spirited Away is it's a beautiful story. The animation, this came out in 2004, I believe? 2003? Somewhere in that ballpark. Early 2000s.
In that area.
We kind of see like the evolution of Miyazaki's animation style. The characters are just so endearingly bizarre.
Yes.
It's so steeped in Japanese mythology.
It really is. I think that's... maybe part of the reason that it's not as popular in America as, say, other animated movies, because people just don't understand the fables that are put in there.
Yeah. Well, that's a kind of a good thing to bring up for Spirited Away, though. It was probably the first Miyazaki movie to be widely recognized in Western audiences.
Yeah.
I think it got released by Disney here in the States. They were the distributor for it.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was the first Miyazaki movie to get an Academy Award.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think for Best Animated Movie.
Yeah,
not even just Best Horror Movie, but Best Animated Movie.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome movie. Great choice.
It is a phenomenal choice.
Who's got another
it's
one?
It's kind of difficult to describe the plot without it sounding silly.
It is difficult.
It's something you have to watch it.
Most, there's a lot of animated movies like that.
True.
It's
speaking
hard
of which,
to describe the plot without either totally ruining the movie or just making the person just walk away from it as fast as they can. You know, no, I'm not going to go see that. Sounds lame.
And Gomer's choice is a great example. If you try to explain this movie without anyone having seen it...
I can explain.
You can't.
My choice for this was 1988's Akira. It's probably the classic.
Or as they say in the movie, Akira.
Akira.
It's a bad habit. It's like, I never...
Kaneda!
Kanada! I don't say any
of
the characters'
names
the way the characters say their own names. I always mispronounce them, apparently.
Yeah. Akira, released in 1988, obviously one of my favorites because it's based on a manga. It was a comic book first, like all good movies
like
are.
All good movies.
This movie is only a movie that could have been made in Japan, a country where a nuclear bomb was dropped. It's the only place this movie could have been made.
You can definitely see the influence.
Yeah, definitely. It's a future New Tokyo, and there's motorcycle gangs, there's a clown gang, and there's a bunch of kids and a dude with a really hot bike.
Yeah.
One of his buddies gets captured by some government folks, gets thrown in with some other little psychic little children, and becomes this uber powerful dude in the same vein as a dude named Akira was years before. And things just go from there. I can remember being a kid, being at my buddy's house. His name was Eric. And, I mean, this was like a JFK moment for me, watching Akira. He put it on. It was like 9 o'clock at night. We were so hungover. And I watched it like 4 times in a row because I just could not get over the beauty and just the great way they told the story.
The quality of the animation is definitely up there, but it's not really, I would say, beautiful. The guy becoming like this hideously...
No, but the animation that
beautiful,
it's so
dude.
Intense.
Yeah,
looking.
That's what I mean. It's
it feels real.
Animation.
A different use of the word
for
beauty.
Its day.
Yeah. For its day, it is incredible.
It was. No, I'm saying the animation quality was good, but like what they were depicting with the animation was pretty grotesque.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Especially the end of the film. But I mean,
the main
Tetsuo's final. Tetsuo's final fate is probably the most famous thing in the movie. So I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, him becoming a big thing. But speaking of Tetsuo, his whole journey from being, you know, crapped on as a kid, from being like the underling to the leader.
I was gonna say being Kaneda's second,
and then being an interesting antagonist because he has sympathetic qualities.
Oh,
but
so sympathetic when he screams for help at the end when he's getting absorbed by the thing. It makes me want to cry. I feel so bad for him. It's like it's almost like the sentry in the void. You know, there are things taken from this story that can be seen in all kinds of popular culture today. And in my opinion, I think this changed the game for animation in the United States.
Certainly, it's a very influential movie.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I know.
Maybe not. It was the first kind of to become, I guess, a cult hit.
Yes. Yeah.
And it certainly was the big Eastern animation cult hit that really paved the way for more anime to pour into the States.
Maybe we wouldn't have gotten Sailor Moon or Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
We wouldn't have grown up watching Toonami in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing these
and it was definitely a way. Or a motive for them to change a lot of movies that had existed and put American subtitles in there and bring them over to the United States because they found a fan base.
I will say
it was such a high watermark for its day.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember as a kid, like Starlog, Bangora magazine had this, and I looked forever to find this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it used to be hard.
It used
movie
to be hard
find.
To find, man.
Yeah. Especially the original translation.
I watched it originally on a bootleg.
Yeah.
A VHS bootleg.
I saw it in a theater as a kid.
Play a little bit of devil's advocate
here. Do it, yeah, definitely.
Akira definitely does, like when people complain about anime and how convoluted they are, Akira's a good example of something that gets pretty fucking convoluted by the
end. Oh, yeah. It's by no means an easy story to follow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
all of its simple nuances.
It takes a couple times to watch it to understand.
Sometimes ambiguity is just like ambiguity for the sake of ambiguity. Feels like where it's just like at the end with like the kids, like they're never completing their fucking sentences at the end of the movie. And then like Tetsuo's god at the end somehow.
Yeah,
so Akira is also one of those things where if you never read the manga, which I have now done, the manga is massive.
The manga, there's no way they could have condensed that whole thing.
No,
they
did
it.
They
skipped the first three books, which is all Akira's life.
Yeah.
And they condense the last four books.
Well, they get into them
a little bit. Well, Akira's barely in the movie. I mean, he hardly ever talked at all in the manga.
And then two or three words in the movie,
he's like, hey, I'm Akira.
Yeah,
that's
like,
that's it. But if you read the manga, there is a lot they just skip just to get to the end of the movie. And even then, they condense a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the mangas are like, each volume is massively thick. There's like, what, six volumes?
There's six, and they're all the size of like
a dictionary.
Like a dictionary. They're like two previews books for comic book fans.
Just sit down and read six encyclopedias and you've gotten halfway through what
but
you have to do.
It's a ton of fun, and they read really fast for books that
Well, I'm just saying, like,
sense of the movie.
It really does. Yeah.
Sometimes there is just you're kind of in a box when you're trying to adapt something to film. Yeah. You just don't have the room to spread your legs out. Like
yeah.
You
yeah. Like. And really, they weren't sure what kind of success this was going to be, you know, but if I remember correctly, when it was released in Japan, theaters sold out for years after it was released, and it stayed in theaters for like 4 or 5 years and was selling out every week. People would go and see this movie, you know. So
pretty sure when I saw it as a kid, I was born after 88, so it'd been
whatever.
The theater.
Not all of us are old farts
like
you.
So the theater I grew up next to as a kid played it every Saturday night.
Oh, awesome! So you just walk next door and
So I saw it every Saturday night at midnight. With Ghost in the Shell. They had a Saturday night double feature, and it was always the same two movies.
Ghost in the Shell probably deserves an honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
We've already talked before, none of us are picking it.
Something else that came out around the same
mention
time.
Mention that as a follow-up to Akira.
Yes, it was also a phenomenal anime that brought kind of anime to the States as well, with Akira.
That's why I think it's the best. It's awesome, and it had a huge influence.
Yeah. It did.
Go ahead. Jules has a pick, too.
I have a pick. My pick is 2001's Metropolis.
Me.
No, it's not the Metropolis silent film. It's vaguely based on.
Well, I was going to talk about it. Vaguely based on. It's a very interesting mix of cultures there because it's a Japanese anime based off of a very influential German silent movie from the 1920s.
Yeah.
But that was the director or the creator's influences, but generally stuff like that. Asuma Takuza.
Yeah. And it is the stories are loosely based off of each other, but not really.
Not really.
They have a female android. That's
really about it.
I think
he
they
saw
the same sort of feel, though. Right?
Yeah. So here's the thing: a lot of people know this. He never actually saw the original Metropolis.
Oh.
He knows about it, and he saw a movie poster. And
Well, the movie poster and the movie itself and this new movie both have this kind of juxtaposition of like glamour and squalor. And,
And so he heard about the film, he never saw it, but the way people described it to him, he had this just vision, and he created the anime version of Metropolis, originally as a manga as well, and it is a great example of just East meets West. Here is this beautiful, wonderful, just ridiculous, think about Brazil as an anime, this awkward, pencil-pushing, dystopian future. And this whole city is like a pillar. It's levels. Like a mall. The lower you get, the crappier it gets. Yeah. The higher you get, the nicer stuff
What did they name the tower? Was it Zeppelin, Ziggurat, something like
the
that?
The Ziggurat.
That's it. And it was Z something.
Yeah.
Zeppelin wouldn't make any sense. That's why I said that first.
But yes. So here is a little boy coming to the city of Metropolis with his grandfather, a timely old detective, teamed up with an android who only has so much clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find themselves in this strange story with a young girl who might be an android, might not be.
Yeah, neither of them knew for
a neither of them knew for the longest time.
Well, we knew, but they didn't.
And it's also, like Spirited Away, a coming-of-age story about a boy understanding his place in the world. And
I love those stories.
Oh, it's so good. And it's a great... It does a great ideas of... The androids are trying to come to terms with them being sentient.
Mm-hmm.
But people refuse to let them become sentient. It's a very... They're not people.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be considered people. But they are in their own ways.
That old sci-fi trope.
That old sci-fi trope.
It's kind of got a Blade Runner vibe. I picked up Alex and Ada last week. That's got the same vibe.
Yeah.
It's a story we've seen before, but it's in the execution.
But the execution is gorgeous.
I saw a few clips. Yeah, it's got some amazingly beautiful, colorful animation.
Yes.
This city's alive. It's an alive place.
It's been about 10 years since I've seen it. But
and it is... Beautiful.
I've never seen it.
It is one of those movies that you're just captivated. You stop paying attention halfway through the film.
Just looking at
because
all the
Because you're pretty. Just... All the detailing.
Yeah.
The cities.
A building coming apart has never looked so lovely.
Oh, awesome.
It does. And just each person feels like a different person.
Nice.
It has that old school captivating... Think of Astro Boy character designs.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's very, like, traditional animation.
Okay.
Mixed in with new animation. And it's just gorgeous. It really is. It's one of the prettiest, in my opinion, the best looking Western animated film I've ever seen.
Stop saying Western.
Eastern.
I just can't remember. Was this put out after Takuza's death or before his death?
2001.
It came out 2001.
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember when
It was made. He was working on it when he passed away.
Because he didn't get to see the finished product.
Mm. He didn't. He never saw the finished film.
Yeah.
This is based on an anime he wrote in. A manga he wrote in like the 60s.
Yeah. Wow.
I
mean,
But we're talking about basically the Godfather, the Walt Disney
of Japanese animation.
Yeah. Well, most people I think refer to Miyazaki as the Walt Disney of.
Right. But I mean, in Japan, if you go to Japan,
this is the guy that did it first.
Yeah.
This is Osamu Tezuka is essentially the father.
Well, Astro Boy and all that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, as far as an Astro Boy also being the first real anime that came to the States.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it as the best, but we probably wouldn't be too out of bounds to talk about Astro Boy for a minute.
No, we wouldn't. Not at all.
It was a series first, wasn't it? But,
I'm not sure at all.
But, yeah, like...
Steve's saying yes.
Kind of the Mickey Mouse of anime.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, the guy who kind of made it explode.
Yeah. And in Japan, he is Mickey Mouse, as far as everyone's concerned, concerning Astro Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the manga Mickey Mouse is to us
the way Astro Boy is to them.
Japanese. Yeah. And
they love Astro Boy.
He came to Japanese television first.
Yes.
And then was relaunched in the 80s. And then a computer animated 3D film later on.
That was the one with like Nicolas Cage.
Just the other year. That was like just a few years ago. Yeah. Which just shows the impact of the character, really.
But did you have a pick yourself?
Did you have a pick, dude?
You picked what?
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away. Metropolis.
Akira.
Which I would have gone with Akira.
Every year, it's like one of the things every year I have to, like Firefly, I watch that every year. I'm always watching a Star Trek.
Yeah.
Transformers, every year, 1980s, I watch that. And Akira, every year, I make an excuse to throw it on. My old lady rolls her eyes and says, oh God, Akira again. But I can't get enough.
As a kid, Akira was the one to find. So, you know, but since Gomer's already said it, I'm going to go with Princess Mononoke.
Awesome choice. You did mention it a little early, but yes, awesome movie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was one of those movies, when you saw it, you had to watch it again like Akira.
Yep.
Just because it had so much going on.
Yep.
It was kind of had that fantasy feudal Japan
kind of
feel to it.
Quintessentially Japanese.
Well, again, Miyazaki manages to blend together this beautiful human emotion story with very engaging Japanese mythology.
Yeah.
But, like, Mononoke is especially interesting because, like, there aren't really any bad guys in the movie.
No.
Like, he makes you feel for every side.
I think that's one of the cool aspects of that movie.
Well, there's a couple of generic asshole thugs, I guess.
The bad guy in the film would probably be the leader of the town.
He's not really being asshole-y, though.
No, it's a woman.
Yeah,
she's not really being
asshole. She's looking out for her town.
Exactly.
And she's looking out for her women.
You know what? She may have been, like, somewhat cavalier about murdering a guardian spirit.
Yeah.
But she, you can kind of understand where she's coming
from.
Exactly. She's founded this town through her own grit and determination.
Yeah.
She's taken in all these outcasts, giving them a home.
She's worked her ass off for that. Why should she, you know?
She's done all this herself, and the gods never did shit for her. So why should she care?
Exactly.
Yeah. She's not a good guy, I can understand.
She would be the closest to the villain.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There really isn't a villain.
Because, I mean, the American cast of it, you had Gillian Anderson as the wolf.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton.
As the monk. The monk character?
Yeah.
I can't remember half the names of it.
I think his name is just The Monk, isn't it?
I think so, too. Yeah,
no, wait, he had a name. I can't remember.
He had a name.
Definitely
Mimi Driver.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, who else? There was a lot of...
They really did a good job of making that movie as American as they could when they moved it over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They took...
It translated
They took
well.
Care with it, yes. Yeah.
But it just...
Wasn't Jada Pinkett Smith one of the characters?
I don't think so.
She was the
lady.
Yeah, the lady.
Yeah,
like,
the lady. Yeah.
We're sounding awful.
The
lady.
It's been a while since I've seen Mononoke, so I'm trying.
It's been a while since I've seen any of these.
I haven't seen Metropolis in.
I've never more seen than that. You're bringing me that.
Viewing party sometime.
Oh man, I'd love to do that up here.
For those who couldn't hear,
Mark just said that
benevolent shop owner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should get all our picks together and watch them.
Favorite too.
Yeah. Any other honorable mentions? I had Grave of the Fireflies. Anybody
You can only watch it once. That's why it's not the best.
It's so
heartbreaking. You can only watch it once.
It's crushing. I've only seen it once and a half. It's soul crushing, dude.
It is painful.
Yeah, even for a movie with Grave in the title, Grave of the Fireflies is a tearjerker.
Oh man, it's
hard to watch.
I haven't seen this one.
Well, I mean, watch it. But
it's a young boy and his sisters. They struggle to survive in Japan during World War II.
It's like Old Yeller meets Terms of Endearment terms of like tearjerker.
Oh, dude, it's
meets like Schindler's List.
But I think this is why. I think this is why it's an important animated film. Because it does render the watcher emotionally helpless by the end of the movie. Yes. And there aren't many cartoons that do that, man. And this movie did it. And I dare anyone to watch it.
And
not be squirting at the end of the movie.
Stop saying that.
That's not a term to use, you ass.
you will cry.
Squirt from
your... ruined our emotional talk about this endearing film.
Squirt from your face balls. You will squirt from your face balls.
Gomer, I just want to punch you in the mouth right now.
Oh, man. Any other honorable mentions? Anybody else got a fave?
As films?
Or a best? Ponyo, we mentioned that. That was awesome.
Oh, I mentioned Ponyo. It's a Miyazaki movie, so inherently it's good.
Exactly.
But, I would never consider that the best, though.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Howl's Moving Castle is pretty.
I'm a fan. Delivery Service.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's got a lot of them.
For anyone listening, go see any Studio Ghibli film. They're all great.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, actually, that's a really good advice. If you've never seen Japanese animated, start there.
There's plenty of room to debate the best movie overall, but I don't think there's any debate over the best studio.
Really recently, Secret World of Arrietty in 2010. I have yet to see it, but it got Oscar nominations. Yeah.
I still haven't seen
The
Wind Rises.
Essentially the
one
that's just
the
Wind Rises of the Littles.
It is. It's the Japanese version of the Littles.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a great story.
You know,
it's great characters in there. They can do a lot with that. Yeah, anybody else got any?
No, we mentioned Ghost
Vampire
in the
Hunter
Shell.
D,
Vampire Hunter D is a classic.
I was a big, huge fan of Vampire Hunter
Ninja
D.
Ninja Scroll. The same animation team, Ninja Scroll and Vampire Hunter D. Yep. Which, those who don't know, Vampire Hunter D was created by the same guy who created Final Fantasy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That blows my mind all the time.
And you mentioned Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, which is
has some of the coolest monster animation in it that I've ever seen. It's got great stuff going on in there. Stuff we probably shouldn't mention on the podcast.
Yes. So it's a very hi-fi film as well.
Yes.
There's a lot to pay attention to in that. Talk about another convoluted film. Ghost in the Shell is not a one-time watch.
Exactly.
One that usually is on a lot of people's shorts list, but is like super convoluted. Evangelion.
Everything about that series.
Oh, God.
It's hard to even have a conversation with two fans
a
talking
good
about
movie,
the
movie, but probably the worst ending
I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the end of...
Oh, yes. You're in your own reality. You make your own reality. Yeah,
and you're like,
what the fucking fuck?
Congratulations!
I'll never get these two hours. Wait, hold on.
For those who don't know, though, the end of the series was not supposed to be like that.
No.
They cut his budget
at
the end. So the last two episodes of the series is one giant joke. Because that was his big finger to the studio because they cut his budget. So the whole clapping sequence, which is 10 minutes long, by the way.
Terrible.
It's
so
you
bad.
See every
everybody,
character.
Everybody dies.
But I do recommend that he has now since gone back and done three feature films.
Yeah.
With a fourth one to be released next year.
Yeah.
And they do a much better job of telling the story, cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Because he left a lot of loose ends in the original series. But the new three movies do a really good job telling the story he always wanted
Not
to tell.
Cool, man.
Not
and
cool.
They're gorgeous looking.
Yeah, they. I've
they're
seen, like,
really gorgeous looking
from like the original series and the new stuff, and it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The only issue with the new series is he gave all the Evangelions like a little pot belly. They look really real. They look like people. They move like people. That was always the cool thing about the series.
Yeah,
there's giant robots that move like people, really sluggishly. Just makes no sense.
You still gotta have an extension cable.
Yeah. And you still have to plug them in. That's the best part of the series.
It's so weird, dude.
This whole city is designed to help
A lot of Japanimation was, you know, you had to have a nuclear bomb dropped on you to have these kind of thoughts and feelings.
That's
and
why one of my favorite series.
Well, it's interesting tracking a lot of influence in these movies can ultimately, like, so many of, like, the most popular Japanese franchises, not even just anime, like Godzilla especially, you trace it back to the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
You trace it back to the aftermath of World War II.
Yeah.
My favorite animated franchise is Gundam. which all starts with a war.
Yeah.
But in Gundam, they lose Australia.
Yeah. You mentioned series. Is there any love for the movies that spun out of the series? Pokemon, probably the most famous. But yeah. Full Metal Alchemist, one of my faves.
Pokemon.
Personal faves.
Oh, man. That's the only one that has anything to do with the series.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another example where the ending kind of killed
yes, me. Yeah, you're right. But it's awesome getting there.
Sure.
It's fun getting there.
Are we, well, like, are we okay, talking like, about the not, Alchemist?
If we name like, all the most prolific anime series, yes. I can't
yeah,
really think of any.
Star of Milo's too, which is good.
Oh, yeah,
there's a couple
good.
Of enjoyable Dragon Ball Z movies.
Oh,
for the
yeah,
most
yeah,
part,
yeah,
they're
Revenge
just
of
like,
Cooler.
What the hell's
yeah.
that?
That's
Revenge of Cooler was fine. The second one with Cooler in it was just like
ridiculous.
Dumb.
Bio, what was it? Like Android
Cooler.
Metal Cooler.
Yeah. No one mentioned Fist of the North Star?
Because it's awful.
It is awful.
There's nothing good about Fist of the North Star.
But it's one of those
we would have never gotten Dragon Ball Z, but...
It's one of those movies that people always seem to put in the lists of best animated films.
Because
and
of how
I never
painful
thought
that movie
bad.
Is.
Sticking your fingers in dude's chest.
Ah, no.
Weird.
I just think of when he sticks his finger in the dude's neck and pulls out his optical cord.
It's weird.
It's awful. It's like...
And there's like nothing going on.
It's like a snuff film. It's just it's kinda everyone like... getting murdered slowly. Awful to watch.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like Street Fighter if it was rated M plus X. It's awful.
M plus X.
It is just don't watch that one.
Oh. Anybody else got anything to?
No.
To
I think we hit all the good
faves,
ones.
You know.
Yeah, I feel like we fished far
we
enough.
We really
now.
Have, man. This was a good one. I love talking animation.
Yeah.
But we're gonna branch into some stuff here in the next few. I think we should do a whole month of Batman stuff.
Oh, you mean that Moon Knight ripoff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jules. Just
yeah.
go
best,
away.
Like the yeah. best Robin, the best.
It's Batman. We're recording today on Batman
yeah,
Day. Jules
is
just blasphemed.
I know,
be
no, because I still have a theory that Batman is actually Nick Fury's LMD in the 52 universe.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's
blah,
how
blah,
he
blah.
Keeps
yeah,
tabs.
Yeah, yeah, we're done.
I like the best one I like is Batman is a Time Lord.
Oh yeah,
I know. I like LMD, man. I'm telling you, it's Nick Fury.
Okay,
it's,
awesome.
So.
All right, thanks for listening, geeks. Yeah. As always, check it out outrightgeekery.com. If you have anything you want to hear us debate about, send us an email outrightgeekery@gmail.com or just leave us a comment here on one of the social media places you found this.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.